Mercury Retrograde Spring Reading for 2015. My name is Eric Francis, fan of Taurus. How could you not be? Here to tell you a bit about how this Mercury Retrograde is going to influence you. And the really interesting thing about this retrograde is that it is in the house in your chart that is usually considered the Taurus house. The themes of the second house parallel to some real degree the themes of the second sign. There are some exceptions, but let's work with the parallels and get an understanding of that for a moment. So the way I'm doing this astrology is that I'm looking where Gemini lands in the chart of any given sign, Gemini being where Mercury will be retrograde. Your chart begins with Taurus. That's considered your first house, Taurus rising or Taurus sun. And the second sign, second place, is considered to be Gemini. And that's where Mercury is going to be retrograde. And this is your house of personal resources. It's also the house associated with values. And here, Mercury retrograde is asking lots of questions. The most significant question Mercury retrograde is asking is, what is important to you? What is the most meaningful thing to you? This requires some thought because Gemini itself has two distinct facets. Mercury has several distinct facets, and the retrograde creates a kind of faceting. It is going to turn the question a different way. So we have this multiplicity of questions that are being asked, and I would say that the thing to do with this Mercury retrograde is to pause and ask yourself questions about what is important to you, what is of value to you, and this includes your resources, all of your resources, the most important ones of which are your body, your voice, your mind, your talent, your creativity, your ideas. Most people don't think this way. I realize that. We're trained out of our curiosity. We're trained to be wage slaves. We're trained to count our productivity and how many hours we worked, and not in the quality of our ideas. And what I'm saying to you is that the real value that you have is in the quality of your ideas. And this is not exactly a linear or finite thing, but rather it is something to evolve, to work with, to develop, to explore, to experiment with, and to ask yourself about. And there are as if layers of veils over this. And so what's necessary is that you use the retrograde event to peel back the veils and to start to look more closely at this question. And so one of the things I suggest you do during this Mercury retrograde is a talent inventory. What is your most worthwhile talent? That comes later. All talent is equal. Let me change this theory for a second here. Let's start on the principle that every talent is like another, and that you can include on this talent inventory things like, I can read and write. I know how to proofread. I can edit. I can read a book. I can read any book. I can speak the English language. I can speak these other languages, and so forth. To work from the really basic, seemingly ordinary things that nobody would put on their resume, hello, I speak English, would seem to be a given. But for this purpose, for your talent inventory, that is the thing to do, and then move on. Whatever talent you might have, maybe you can sing, maybe you can juggle, maybe you are good at computers, maybe you have illustration talent, photography, acting, whatever it might be, make this inventory and look at it and get a sense of how much you have. I'm saying take stock, and don't worry if you think something is too mundane to include, too pedestrian, too ordinary, you know how to make dinner. Well, I'll tell you something about making dinner. If you can actually cook a meal, and I don't mean Kraft macaroni and cheese, you're in the minority. because the majority of people are losing their ability to do things like even make scrambled eggs. Okay, now, this is going to take you deeper. One of the reasons I'm saying this is because you have another Mercury-ruled sign in a prominent place in your chart, the fifth house, which is the house of your creative talent. And so Mercury not only rules all your personal resources and language skills, but Mercury also rules your artistic and creative skills, and that includes a diversity of things that require you to be daring, passionate, and not only that, because it's Virgo, meticulously impeccable about what you create. And so your attributes and qualities, like I am careful at what I produce. I refine things. I think things through. I take my time to get it right. All of those become assets. All of those become things to add to your inventory. Now, while you're doing this, one of my thought through theories about this, since I've done the entire Taurus birthday reading, and I focused a lot of concentrated ideas on this, but I'm going to sum them up for you here in abbreviated form, is that money is a question for you. And by money, I am suggesting that you go back to your earliest concepts of money that were given to you. What were the first things you were told about money? What was the first time you ever personally remember handling money? What did it feel like when a relative gave you money for a gift as opposed to giving you a physical object for a gift? Go back and analyze, explore, and understand those experiences as best you can. The second house is indeed about money. I like to make sure that the second house is taken in a kind of respectful order of operations that preserves a measure of humanity to astrology, which is to begin with your talents, to proceed on to your values, what you hold as important, what you hold as true, what you believe in, what is the bottom line for you. And then the third element of the second house is about money. Money is an interesting resource because it is a thing that is convertible into any form of labor. You can do anything with money. You can build a house, you can tear a house down, you can hire a hitman, you can hire a belly dancer, you can do anything basically that you want with money, be it legal or not. Hey, that's half the fun of money, is you can do all kinds of things that are illegal. That's part of the problem with money, is it is so readily convertible into any form of energy, and it's one reason why people are so frantic about the stuff. They know that it's this kind of universal script that can basically become anything, and it's vital that you think about money in that way. But more to the point, on the topic of Mercury retrograde in the second house, there is something about your organization about money, your ability to maintain records, for example. So this would be a very good time to get clear on the maintenance of records, gather all of your records, make sure that everything is in order. I personally believe that people, no matter how much or how little money they have, should work with some form of a bookkeeper or accountant, some form of a person who understands the structure of money. I know there's many people who are resistant to this. They don't want to spend the money. They don't want to have somebody else involved. They don't want anyone knowing. I take a little bit of a different approach. Granted, I've been in business for myself since 1989, and I've learned the necessity of doing that. But I would say that for just about anyone, this will help. But even if you're not going to work with a professional, to have your financial house in order. And because this retrograde involves three contacts with Neptune, a series of contacts, squares with Neptune, I would suggest looking for what needs to be resolved and looking for ways in which you are potentially deceived about your financial status. Deceived can go in several different directions. You might be doing much better than you think. You might be doing worse than you think. You might just have no idea and need to have the bottom line facts. With money, What I have found, and what many have pointed out over the eons, is that organization and structure favor the accumulation of wealth. And furthermore, that once you get on a roll, it's easier to stay on that roll than it is to start up all over again. And so the role I'm suggesting you get on is one of scrupulous awareness, of making sure that you know at all times where you stand with yourself, and knowing that includes knowing exactly the status of how much money you owe to other people, be it credit cards or car payments or mortgage payments, and have a concept, an active concept in your mind of what it is going to take to pay all of that down or pay it off. This is all part of having an organized, clear-headed financial structure. Now, as part of this Mercury retrograde, something very interesting happens, which is that I'm recording this on the 9th of May, and on Monday, the 11th of May, Mars enters Gemini, joins Mercury. The Sun is close behind, and so there's going to be a lot of activity in your second house, including Mars. And what Mars is saying is you have permission to be more assertive about making money. You can be a bit aggressive. But there's another message that is coming from Mercury. And the message that is coming from Mercury on the level of values is saying, basically, think about your values and the value of your work as being the service benefit to the world. Money being the universal form of media, of energy exchange. We were all told as a kid, or maybe just because I had parents who were well-read, that money is a medium of exchange. So money is a medium, and as a convertible medium into any form of labor or energy, money is important. But there is something that is more important for you, and that involves service. That the true nature of your value is more focused on your ability to provide service than it is on your ability to actually make money. Now, the resolve to that is that you are much likelier to make money when you connect with what serves your community, what serves your company, what serves your clients. And so it's necessary to think in, I believe, in the order of how may I be of service? How is my work valuable? My work, my ideas, my time, my labor, preferably ideas, because you have so many of them and they are so good. How is this valuable as a form of service rather than as a form of something that is convertible into cash? If you think in terms of service first and draw the lines where you connect what you have to offer with the necessity that others have, with the requirement for the needs. We live on a planet where everyone has needs. That's really good for you, because if you can connect what you offer to the needs that others have, suddenly you've basically made a supply line of service to others, and then at the same time, you have created a supply line of revenue coming toward you. A lot of your chart describes a connection to the digital realm. This is kind of weird for Taurus, as I like to joke. My friend Neil, one of my favorite Taurians, has Emily Post books up on his bookshelf, and he can tell you the pedigree and the origin of every object in his house, and he likes to collect all these old traditional things, and he would kind of be the person to, as would many Taurians, appoint to be the like dean of tradition if we ever had to start a new planet somewhere. But your relationship to technology, though it may be somewhat uncomfortable because you like physical objects made of things like wood and natural fibers and old things, kind of like, all right, you have another expression, and that is that you fit very well with the technological realm, and the technological realm is a place where you can express value, express talent, and express leadership. So assessing your relationship to technology and inventorying your technology and making sure that you are clear about the value of the relative age of the working order status of your technology is vital. Remembering that your technology is in many respects the thing that stands between you and the next meal on your table, but also between you and your ability to reach and to serve other people. And so in this era where we are being completely swallowed by technology and where digital consciousness is completely subsuming all of reality, it is a very wise thing to understand the nature of the value of the quality of the condition of all of the technological objects in your life that you use, and make sure that you're not kind of dragging yourself along with conflicting values that say, well, I don't really like this so much, and yet I need it, and so that can create tension, right? That can create neurosis, basically. Neurosis I define as attempting to possess values that conflict with one another, and this creates hang-ups. Just like in a computer, when two programs conflict, it can hang the computer up. And so your respect for tradition and for objects that are made by hand and things that are natural could well conflict with your gift for, necessity of, talent for, and your basic day-to-day use of new type of technological objects. So I'm suggesting that you work this out and that you identify where you may be tangled up and may basically be tripping over your own shoelaces, when all you really need to do is make the commitment to tie your shoes and proceed and walk forward using your left leg, which would be your understanding of and appreciating the values of the past, and your right leg, which would be the one that would be about appreciating and understanding the values of technology and where we're going in the future, and get those two legs working together. The thought that I'll conclude with here is that for Taurus, with Gemini on the second house, that indicates the possibility of having two distinct value systems. Completely different, meaning, for example, just to give one illustration, the respect for tradition, and then the respect for and the understanding that the future is crucial. So there's tension between the past and the future in your consciousness, and more than just getting them in harmony and working them out, there is a synthesis that I think that is necessary, and that you may be able to participate in very well, which is bringing functional, necessary values from the past, what you might describe as time-honored traditions, a phrase that I picked up from my Taurus mentor, time-honored traditions, and bringing those into the future, bringing those into the work that you do now, and making sure for your little part of the world, for your little region of consciousness, that there is respect for the past, and that that respect for the way things were done well in the past is brought into what we are all doing now. And you seem to be extraordinarily gifted at this. I'll conclude one last time, which is that the presence of Mars moving into your second house in Gemini is it is a caution about being honest and being real, especially with yourself, and really knowing your bottom line on what means the most to you. There's plenty of wiggle room for pretending, for getting that wrong, for being stuck on things that were true in the past. And what Mars is saying is, Get with it now. Learn now what is vital to you now, and make sure that you motivate yourself, that you live with and live for those particular values, attributes that are meaningful today, and purge your files of that which no longer serves you. If you're Taurus Sun, please do listen to your rising sign. It is easy to find your rising sign. Just go to astro.com, type your birth data in. You'll need your accurate birth time. You'll need to make sure you get the time zone right for your local area. If you need help, write to one of us at Planet Waves. We'll help you find out what your correct rising sign is. Listen to that. And all of these recordings have something for everyone in them. All right. Thanks for listening. And I'll catch you over at a different sign. Bye for now.